And
all right, so the official title of this talk is Researching and Refining the Thesis, and the subtitle is How Many Cheesy Greek Myth Puns Can I Possibly Fit in One Presentation? So, I've worked in the writing lab for over 2 years, and this talk was inspired by a recurring problem that I would encounter with students who came in. It's a misconception regarding the thesis statement. And I've noticed that a lot of people seem to imagine that the thesis springs fully formed, like Athena, from the head of Zeus. And that's not really quite how it works. But it's an understandable misconception, given that, you know, most professors ask you to turn in a thesis with your paper proposal. And that's a good idea because the thesis helps set a direction and keep you focused while you're working on the paper. But I want to emphasize that while the thesis really comes first logically and structurally in the paper, it doesn't usually come first in the construction of the paper. When you're working on the paper, the thesis, for me, the completed thesis is usually the last thing that I write. So it's not really possible to formulate the perfect complete version of your thesis before you've done any other work on the paper. The thesis is like a Pokemon. It has to evolve before it reaches its final form. Or at least so I'm told. I've never actually played a Pokemon, but. So anyway, the real birth of the thesis, a little bit more like this. Now, this is an actual page of my scribbly notes for a paper I wrote on Nietzsche a couple semesters ago, and it's not that scribbly and crazy because it's on Nietzsche. That's what all of my papers look like when I'm brainstorming and starting them. So my point with this illustration is just it takes some mental wrestling with your ideas to figure out a clear, concise formulation of just what you want to argue in your text. And for me, I like scribbling lots of notes because I've discovered I work through my ideas by the process of actually handwriting notes out. So it's more of just an exercise for me to get my thoughts flowing. And as you work on papers, you may find a different process that works well for you. But yeah, this sort of warming up process is really important. And I'm convinced my color coding doesn't hurt. So where do we start with this whole process then when you're trying to work on a thesis? And I think first, a good thing for us to point out would be some dangers that we need to avoid. You know, Odysseus had his Scylla and Charybdis, but in our case, we're watching out for the Procrustean bed. Now, Procrustes, you may or may not know, was a ancient Greek mythological bandit who used to capture people and then make him sleep on this bed. And it was a truly one-size-fits-all bed. If you were too short, he would stretch you to fit. And if you were too tall, he'd chop off your feet, which is what is about to happen in that picture there. So, we don't want to submit the text to this Procrustean bed treatment. And so the way that we can avoid that is to remember that we need to go from text to thesis. So the text should inform your thesis, not the other way around. You don't want to go from thesis to text. And I've written papers this way before, where you come up with a thesis that sounds really good, and then you go through the text looking for stuff to support your thesis. It's really frustrating because sometimes you can't find the evidence you think you want or that you need, and also you don't really learn anything new about the text if you're just trying to fit it to some preconceived idea of what's going on there. But this isn't to say you can't start with that. Start out with some kind of idea of what you think the text is saying or what you think you'd like to argue. Indeed, it's really important to have that guiding idea as you're going through the text and looking what it has to say, and that's why your professor is assigning you the thesis as part of your paper proposal. The main thing is just you want to remember your idea that you're pursuing isn't set in stone, and so you should allow it to change if the text leads you in a new direction. And again, that's not to say you're going to end up writing a paper that's the complete opposite of what you first thought. That doesn't usually happen. I mean, it could, and in that case, sometimes it's something really interesting where you realize, oh, I thought this thing was going on, but I was completely wrong, and it's really this other thing, which is still really interesting. That usually doesn't happen. Usually it's more of a subtle reshaping of your thesis. And the main point is just remember to be flexible. So I think a good way to understand how this process of researching and refining a thesis works is to walk through the steps with a paper that I wrote recently, and this is going to be on a text that you guys will all be familiar with. It's Homer's Iliad. At this point, I also should point out that when I talk about researching, I'm not talking about when you're doing secondary research and looking up critics and the kind of things that will go into your annotated research paper at the end of the semester, although this process definitely does work for that kind of thing too. I'm talking about researching your topic within your primary text. So for me, I decided to write about Andromache, so I was researching her character in the Iliad, looking at what does she say, what does she do, that helps me understand her role in the poem, and ultimately helps me figure out what do I want to say about her. Now, I picked Andromache because I've always thought she was just a really cool character. I mean, she's strong, then sweet, romantic, and heartbreaking. I mean, the scene with her and Hector, the parting on the walls, I always cry when I read that. So I thought, yeah, she's somebody I find fascinating and want to write about her. And I like her because she's really real and human. Her laments are really personal. And so based on all these things that I have noticed and liked, I figured, I think I knew what I wanted to argue in the paper. And so I started off with a provisional or working thesis. And it would be something like this. Andromache's pleas and laments have a personal focus because her relationship to Hector represents the soldier's duty to his own family. So I wrote that because I'm thinking, all right, Andromache is really interesting because she's the woman who's reminding Hector that I need you at home. If you go die, your son won't have a father, I won't have my husband, our family will fall apart. And it's this really moving personal plea. So I'm thinking, all right, I bet Andromache's role in the poem has something to do with the personal and with the family and that duty that Hector has to those things. So that's how I started with this provisional thesis. So I've identified these themes that I'll be looking for, and remembering what we just said about the text informing the thesis, what is it that I should do next? How am I going to go about building this paper? Any ideas? I know we've got some brilliant paper writers in this room. You've done it a couple times anyway, so from your experience, what do I do at this stage? Yes, you up there.
Look for quotes to support your thesis and analyze the text.
Yes, so I'm going back to the text. And I think I probably put it in slightly the inverted order that you said. You want to analyze the text and then pick your quotes, because until you understand what the text is saying, you're not sure, well, maybe this quote supports what I'm saying, maybe it doesn't. But yes, that is exactly. And I wasn't saying you had it in the wrong order, I'm just saying, okay, yes, those are both right, and this is the way I would approach them. So yeah, you want to, you're at the, what I call the researching stage of this paper now, and I'm going to go through and I'm going to look for where is Andromache mentioned in the text, and Andromache is pretty simple to research because she's got the three major scenes. So I looked over those scenes, and first you just start reading them. You don't necessarily have to be, you know, you're looking for things, but you don't have to be so zeroed in that you don't want to be so focused that you ignore things that maybe are unexpected. You just want to read the text and think, okay, what is going on here? I just want to understand the general outlines of the scene, and then you want to start paying attention to things that stand out. And usually those things that stand out are the things that are related to your paper. Sometimes they're extraneous things, but I write them all down. So you have a list of, significant stuff about this scene. And then you have some material to work with. So I typed up a few of my reading notes just to give you an example of the kind of things that are worth paying attention to. These are actual notes I made, so they may be not entirely grammatically correct, but I left them that way because I figured the important thing is these don't have to be fancy. They're just to help you keep track of cool stuff you notice in the text. So I've got some things about, you notice the Andromache's lament about Hector when she first hears of his death is strictly personal. That seems to fit with what I was thinking already. She details the disorder that occurs when a son loses his family. His speech focuses on the marriage and nuclear family as the foundation of civil order. Her speech does. I noticed that she doesn't talk about the consequences of Hector's death or the rest of Troy until she gets to the funeral scene, and that's in the context of community, which seemed important. Why does she bring this up? Why doesn't she bring this up earlier when trying to convince him to stay? So yeah, questions, weird questions that strike you when you're reading the text. Write those down. I kind of thought maybe the answer to that question was their marriage is emblematic of the rest of the community's good, and so that's why she doesn't have to talk about herself or talk about the community separately because she represents the community. That was the answer I kind of came up with there. I noticed that her speech opens and closes with personal appeals. She talks about the loss of the head of the house and what that means to the family, and then she ends by talking about her lament as the wife and lover at losing Hector. I noticed that the middle part of her speech talks about Hector's role as a protector of the city, and so that's sort of putting he's talking about his duty to all the wives and children, not just his own. And therefore, Andromache's using herself and Astyanax as examples of the consequences of Hector's death. So, just a quick run through of some things that I noted while I was doing the researching. Now, if we look at the kinds of observations I'm making, do they seem to fit with my provisional thesis, or are they taking it in maybe a slightly different direction? Remember, my first thought was, okay, she's strictly representing the personal. Well, I'm not going to force you to analyze my notes since, like I said, these are meant for me to make sense of it, not necessarily other people to make sense of it. But I started noticing, yeah, it seems like she is talking about the family and making her personal experience representative of the community's experience. So maybe there's something more than just personal going on here. It seems like she's situating herself such that the meaning for her family can expand out to her community. So I'm kind of getting the idea that maybe I want to expand my thesis from just being strictly, it's just personal. For the significance of Andromache's relationship seems to be more than just personal. I also want to point out, so notes aren't really, they aren't just busy work. I think that they're really helpful and will save you trouble in the future because they provide a pool of textual evidence for you to use when you start putting together the paper and an outline. Kind of like when you're putting together a jigsaw puzzle, if you sort out all the pieces that are similar colors, then when you come back and are looking for a particular piece, it's easier to find it than if you just have them all in a jumble in a box. And that's similar to the way you're building your argument. You want to have the appropriate evidence sort of arranged, and if it's all there in your notes, it's easier to find the stuff you're looking for. So not all the notes are going to end up in my paper, but they're really helpful. And in my experience, this textual research part of the paper is where all the really hard work happens. So don't be worried that, oh my gosh, I'm spending so much time reading the text and I haven't even opened up Microsoft Word yet. I don't have any words in that document. Because this is really the part of the paper where you're figuring out what's going on in the text, what does it mean, and what do I want to say about it. And putting in the thought and the research right now is going to save you a lot of hours of miserably staring at a blank screen on your laptop, you know, feeling like that deadline is marching towards you. I spent a lot of time doing that as a underclassman in undergrad, and it was miserable, and I don't ever want to do it again. So I've discovered that putting the time in at this part of the paper really saves you in the long run. Because it's a lot easier to write a paper if you know what you want to say. And so this is the part that helps you figure that out. My roommate and I used to talk about this as being theoretical progress. We're like, well, I haven't made any actual progress on my paper, but I made a lot of theoretical progress. But the theoretical progress really is actual progress. It's just not quantifiable in the same way as a, you know, page count and word count would be. All right, so we've noticed my research has kind of led me in a slightly different direction. It expanded my understanding of what I think Andromache is doing in this poem. And so I've noticed, my thesis might be a little different than what I thought at first. So I decided I'm going to change my working thesis a little bit. And I've got my outline that I created next, which has the thesis. Oh, my highlighting doesn't show up very well. But the thesis is up there at the top. And so I've changed it a little bit to be Hector and Andromache's relationship presents marriage as the foundation and center for social order. Now, this has changed slightly, and it's kind of a bare bones thesis. It's short and sweet, and I probably will add some more to it as I continue to work on the paper, but I wanted to have this, focus thesis to help me stay on track, make sure everything that I'm writing points towards the goal that I have, points towards the argument I'm making, keeps me from going off on tangents. So that's why it's useful to just have a short and sweet here. But you can write a long one too if you want. It's really whatever works for you, as long as you are keeping your goal in mind and not letting it sprawl too much. And I also put the whole outline on this slide because I wanted to show how your notes on the text can get turned into the outline. So some of these things are pretty much directly out of the notes I just showed, like under point B, Andromache's appeal, I have subpoint 1, opens with a personal appeal, not to leave a widow and an orphan behind. So that was something that came out of my notes. Or under down at the bottom, point C, under Andromache's lament, I have, notice she doesn't mention Hector's role as protector of the city, except as it pertains to the name of their son. So this, it doesn't necessarily, you know, this whole outline makes sense to you, but I wanted to just point out that if you keep notes, it's really easy to just take those things that you notice in the text and stick them into your outline. Because basically your notes are your way of keeping track of your evidence. And when you've got all your evidence laid out in front of you, it's easy to find, oh, I want to talk about this quote here, I want to talk about this quote there. So you can plug those things into your outline, organize them by the subpoints that you want to make, and it makes it a lot easier to create an outline. I remember, that was another thing, like in undergrad, the professors would force you to turn in these outline assignments, and it was just like a hoop you had to jump through, and it was really annoying, and was felt like extra work. Like, why would I do this unless I have to? And then I got to grad school and found myself making outlines because I wanted to and because they really helped me write better papers and spend less time being stressed out and confused about what I was going to say. So the notes really segue into the outline. They're the part where you take all the your puzzle pieces that you have arranged by, you know, color, and you start fitting them together. And you realize, okay, these pieces of evidence fit together to create the picture of this subpoint that I want to use to support my overall thesis. And again, I don't worry about making everything grammatically perfect for the outline because it's just my handy roadmap, and all that really matters is that I understand what it means. Like, if I had to turn this into somebody, I would probably be a little more uptight about using complete sentences on things, but the main point of the headline is just of the outline is to give you a roadmap to follow so that you know where you're going instead of just floundering in the scary, bright white world of blank Word document pages. All right, so we take one last look at that thesis, and then I'm going to switch to the next slide, which shows the final thesis in my completed paper draft. So this simple thesis was, Hector and Andromache, the relationship presents marriage as a foundation and center for social order. Now, I'm sorry if the highlight doesn't show up. It's my thesis is the end of this paragraph, starting here. So now this process has led me to this thesis, which is, when we consider the structure and content of Andromache's speeches, we find that her widow's grief is not merely the isolated concern of an individual for the loss of a personal relationship. Rather, she uses her marriage to represent the significance that Hector, as the city's champion, has for Troy. Furthermore, her portrayal of her family's dependence on Hector reveals marriage to be the foundation of the peace and order of the city. That sounds like something I would go to a conference and would not be embarrassed to say, this is my thesis. It sounds like something worthy of scholarly consideration. But that wasn't something that I could just pull out of my head at the beginning, like, Zeus, this is the culmination of a whole progress, or process. The culmination of my progress. And as you can see, I've structured it so, you know, I mentioned the evidence I'm going to use, which is the structure and content of Andromache's speeches, and then I kind of give a brief overview of the argument I'm making and present the logical connection between the ideas I discuss. And it's easy to figure out that it's easy to write that kind of structured thesis when you have an idea of what the whole paper is. I've got the paper laid out before me because I had my notes, then I made my outline. I knew what I was going to say, I knew where I was going with it. So that's the only thing that allows you to write a more detailed thesis like that. You just can't do that from the beginning when you haven't done your research. So then looking back, my next slide just shows the progress of my thesis from the provisional one that then we then shifted the focus to then the final expression of that. And it's not a drastic change, but it's been a slow refinement from what I first started out thinking I would say and then to what I finally argue. And every paper will have its own process, but the main point I want to make is that you don't need to stress out about crafting the perfect final draft of your thesis before you started doing anything else. Your thesis will grow and mature as you research, read, and outline, so. Just let it take its natural progression rather than trying to force it from the beginning. Alright, well that's the end of my prepared spiel, but I would be happy to answer questions about any of this process. Yes?
Okay, really fast. Usually when I usually write notes too before I form a thesis, but many times when I'm writing these notes, I just get like drowned in all of these ideas and it's harder to become more focused. So how would you recommend
Yeah, that can be tricky. Sometimes you find so many interesting things. I mean, you want to pick something that, when you realize you have so much evidence that there's more than you can handle, you want to figure out, okay, how can I approach this topic in such a way that I can narrow this down? Actually, for instance, when I was looking at this paper, I first was thinking about looking at the three speeches of the women at the end of the Iliad, because I thought it was interesting, you know, Homer is this bloody war book with three women speaking, so what's going on here? And I read that passage, and there was a lot going on with the things that Helen said and the things that Hecabe says. And it was just like too much to be able to fit all that in one paper. And then I realized, you know what? I could just focus on Andromache, and that's a way of keeping me limited to a manageable amount of information. So when you have all that stuff, I guess you want to think of a way to, how can you narrow your question? Maybe just handle one aspect. You know, often these subjects that we write papers on could be the subject of a whole huge book. And because there's so much to be said, and so you often need to find a way to, okay, how can I just tackle one manageable chunk of what's going on? And you can sort of gesture at how it fits into the rest, but. Did you have?
Can I add something? Because it was a wonderful question, and the talk was really wonderful, and I wanted to put together two really, I think, fruitful things. One of the advantages of having writing out either an outline or a provisional outline is that you can go through with a highlighter pen or a pencil and circle, first of all, highlight the stuff that you love, the stuff that you think is really, really neat. I mean, I think that's one of the most important things, that to make sure you don't hide the things that you really are excited about. And also look at clusters of themes. Let's just say, you know, the plan A was to look for the personal. So I went through and circled, you know, personal, 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 personal. Here are all the words in the passages that have to do with something personal. Wait a minute, something else is going on here that's political. So now I'm going to circle, you know, with a square, a cloud, all the things that have to do with political. And what that will let you do by organizing the descriptive words that jump out at you, either in the quotations or in your notes, that will start to get you thinking more about structure. So that even a provisional outline like that is going, okay, in the first speech this happens, and the next speech this happens, and the next speech this happens. You might even want to shift that around and say, wait a minute, if this paper is about the personal versus the political, maybe the first half of my paper might be on why this just looks personal. And then the second half of my paper might deal with, on the other hand, here's how it's really political, right? Which is actually you would only have gotten there by being able to circle the themes and the descriptive words that pop out at you. So I don't know, that was just
nice. Yeah, that's great.
Another comment on the strengths, you can know, get some sense of how much you can do in a certain amount of pages or words, right? So this essay was probably 12 pages originally.
It was 10.
10, so 10 pages, right? So it might not be possible to cover this much ground in 3 pages, right? So you might also have to be thinking, what can I do in 3 pages? I can't talk about 10 different scenes in the Iliad because they're just, those are too rich. Right, so you have to pick and choose what's interesting based on how much you can manage and how long you have, how much space you have.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thanks for bringing that up.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
When I'm writing a paper, I like to always try to start with a question. A question, a problem that I'm answering, because that makes me feel that I'm interested in the paper and that someone else is going to be interested in the paper. And I'm wondering if, was there a question, when you get to the end of your, this sometimes is something you have to do backwards. In the process of this paper, which, by the way, is really great that you shared with us, thank you, because it's a vulnerable thing.
That was my colloquium paper for I gave it
to the
recent
school.
Well, I'm sorry, I was the only person who thought it was good, I guess.
it's just, it's a nerve-wracking process, you know, and you sort of go through, it's like, too many ideas, I don't know what I'm going to say, I don't know what my point is, and that's normal, that's part of the process. But by the end of the thesis there, I'm wondering, what question does that thesis answer? I mean, this is kind of a, What question does that help your reader who is interested in the Iliad answer?
For me, it answered the question of why the heck does Andromache never say, hey, the whole city needs you, and if you go out there and get yourself killed, all of Troy is going to fall. You think that maybe, like, yeah, it's tragic when the single family loses their husband, but why does Andromache never make this other really great argument that you think would help back up the one where she just says over and over again, you're going to leave us destitute, widows and orphans, me and your son. So for me, going through this helped me realize, she is actually making that other argument, but it's implicit in her personal argument, and the personal argument makes it even more powerful.
Huh. I mean, that's fascinating. If I were reading the paper, and even if it showed that underneath your paper is actually a real question of, is she a fully responsible character, or is she a character that we're supposed to criticize?
Is she selfish, or is she actually care about the larger community?
Right, is she just selfish, or is she political? Is she, what's driving, what's motivating her? What's motivating her? And I only mention that because sometimes phrasing it, I mean, I have to look backwards here. When you're revising your paper, you want to put that question first for your reader, right? If you could say that at the beginning, once you figured out what your point is, and then come back and say, reader, it might look like Andromache is only appealing to something personal. And if so, she seems to be a problematical character who is not, you know, who seems to be at odds with how smart she is in other ways.
I actually kind of asked that question in the introduction, which was a long introduction, so it didn't all fit on here, but.
I mean, sometimes you're just not sure what the question is. And, you know, wouldn't it be great if every paper you had a question that you were answering, who's right, Achilles or Agamemnon? It's like, no, not that one again. But you know, there's the problems there. All you have to do, you have your thesis. You just have to back it up. But so many times, it's a paper. It's like Canada, Railway in Search of a Country. You know, it's like sort of trying to. I'm Canadian. I can say that. But you know, it sort of points in search of a thesis, and you're like, what is it going to be? So sometimes, by trying to think about trying to articulate a question, it opens you up so that you're a little bit more open to the evidence. And in this case, I'm fascinated that you were going back and forth between the personal and the political in Andromache and how to balance them and how to understand them. It's a really, really interesting question. By the way, you know that her political advice about the wall is what gets reiterated later as the real advice. She actually gave him the good political advice that if he'd taken it, would have like mm-hmm. saved Troy. It's like, she did it first. So, yeah, sorry to talk so much, but it's
great. I'll chime in too. You're also, in some ways, answering the question, why does Homer interject this very, it's almost an interruption. It could seem like an interruption from the battle, right? All of a sudden, we're in Troy. Talking to women, well, this doesn't seem to be what's happening, so it doesn't seem to be a plot of the story, right? And it could seem sort of like a distraction, but in fact it contributes even to the goodness of what's happening on the planet.
And that's a good example of why you want to write down stuff that pops out at you. You know, you're reading along and you're like, okay, all of a sudden, why is this woman? Why are we going from the battlefield to this woman screaming her lament on the walls of Troy? Like, this is weird, this doesn't seem to fit. And then when you come back to those things that stood out and were strange, then you, and dig a little deeper, that's where you start finding some of these really interesting tensions and issues.
Can you say something about, one, the length of your thesis? Because I think some students have probably been told that their thesis has to be one sentence, and only one sentence.
Is yeah.
Is that something that they need to be aware of, or what you should kind of think about that? And also, how your thesis, you hinted at that your thesis sort of structures or orders your paper.
Often for like a 3-page paper, I think it's fairly easy to get your thesis into one sentence. It's more when you get into 10-page or 20-page papers that, you know, you just can't cram that much information in one sentence and it becomes awkward. I still think in terms of usually when I do multiple sentence theses, the last sentence is the real heart of the argument. So for here, it was her portrayal of her family's dependence on Hector reveals marriage to be the foundation of the peace and order of the city. So that was like the bottom point that I was wanting to get at. I guess in terms of length of thesis, yeah, you want it to be proportional to the length of your paper. If you've got a 3-page paper, you don't need a 3-sentence thesis, probably. Maybe a 2-sentence one if it's a kind of complicated relationship. I usually base it on, you know, if I try to put it all in one sentence and it suddenly becomes cumbersome and awkward, but putting it in 2 sentences makes it make so much more sense. That's usually a good guide of how long my thesis needs to be. And as far as the structure of this one, so I always try to think of the thesis as, I mean, thesis is all about spoilers. You want your reader to be able to follow along. So you want to not only give them the points that you're going to talk about, but also kind of the order that they can expect them. And so in this one, I start off, I realize later, like maybe I could only consider the last 2 sentences theses, or the thesis, but I highlighted it, which you can't see, from the when, because I thought that sort of still is part of the point of the paper, which is we're looking at what? We're considering the structure and content of Andromache's speeches. And we realize it's not just an individual concern. That's our starting point. We're looking at the structure and content, and we realize it's not just this one thing. So the next step, logically, is, well, what is she really doing? She's using her marriage to represent the significance that Hector has for Troy. And then the 3rd sentence is the, given the previous information, our final conclusion is that marriage is the foundation of the order of the city. So does that help explain what I meant by?
Yeah, one question I have too is, do you see those different sentences as going through those different books? Book 6,
no.
Book 2, 3, 4, or 6 more, something we've seen all of them?
Yeah, I structured this paper in order of the speeches. because I felt like there was kind of a logical progression through them. But yeah, the thesis doesn't really, isn't representing the individual speeches so much as the overall analysis that I reach at the end. But yeah, you wouldn't want your thesis to be in an order that would lead the reader to think you're going to talk about things in the opposite way that you really are. So there is some flexibility in whether you have to literally point them step by step through every paragraph of your paper, which is not really what I did here so much. More what I did here is sort of your other option, is working them through the phases of the argument. I see. If A, therefore B, if B, therefore C, kind of process.
Well, it's even possible that you could have spent your whole introduction just setting up the specter of her as a perfectly private individual, just selfishly asking him not to leave her, and then just saying, in fact, this paper will show that far from being purely personal, she illustrates that marriage is the basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could, I don't know, I don't think anything would be lost if it were really short either. If, what I think it might, maybe we're saying from the standpoint of lit trad students, I sometimes notice theses are really general. I mean, like the thesis of, Andromache is political. I mean, if you were to say that as a thesis, you'd all go, okay, but we don't know what that means. Whereas when you read that, it's like, whoa, that's good. Like, now we get, that's a really neat thesis. And what it took was the because that whole process of working things out and spelling it out was how you got to something that specifically good. So I was only saying that in case anybody was a bit overwhelmed by going from the thesis to the outline suddenly. There was a Mad Magazine cartoon of how to draw, and there was like an egg, and then the next one was an egg with a cross, but you know, certain axial lines through it, and then the third one was the Mona Lisa. But in fact, to get to that texture involves looking at those details, thinking about the descriptive words, and really saying because, you know, try to make it even more specific.
Yeah, I definitely jumped pretty quickly from those stages. And honestly, the outline was kind of a, and as an interesting side note, here's how you would build an outline. The main thing I'm interested in is don't think that you have to pull your thesis out of thin air. And we are at the end of our time. Thank you for being a very attentive audience.